Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
We do have one more story here at the restaurant. I don't think this is a problem you'll have here, but this happened up in Pennsylvania. In fact, a town called Lidditz, Pennsylvania. I'm not sure exactly
Lidditz.
Where that Lidditz.
Very good field hockey.
Okay.
There you go.
That's how Chris rates towns.
Shi-Ing and Chun-Ing have been arrested and charged with scavenging deer parts from trash bins outside butcher shops and then selling it out of their restaurant. Investigators found more than 300 pounds of deer.
We don't do that here. we don't do that here.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Alrighty then, live at Chatter, though we are not open for breakfast today because of the summer schedule where we're in and out, and we're, as Howard Fineman said before we started today, we are keeping the pilot light on by doing once a week and maybe a little bit more than that. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest inside the line of the capital of the United States of America. We're going to do a show this week today, Monday.
That's right.
We're going to also drop a pop-up on Wednesday.
That's right.
With Adam Carolla. So we're going to have two things for you this week. Gary Braun is here. Tori Clark back from the land down under. Down under. She is with us. Michael
licorice.
Kornheiser. Yes. Tori said, do you want Nigel's running the board, and Howard Fineman will join us in a little while. Tori said, do you want the good news or the bad news to Nigel and to me? And we both immediately said bad news.
Of course.
Because that's the bad kind of news people was, you are.
The bad news, Tori said, I ate it. And we just looked at her, what?
What?
And she said, the licorice shop, and she handed a card from the licorice shop in what town in Australia?
Sydney,
Australia. And you said it was the best licorice you ever ate.
Best licorice I've ever had. And all sorts of different flavors,
like
all
licorice.
These natural ingredients. Really, really fabulous. And Rick gave me one to try, and I'm chewing it, and I had this look on my face, and he goes, I know. He goes, stay with it for 6 seconds, and the adventure begins.
And you didn't bring any home. You ate it all.
Yeah. I did bring it home. I just ate it. It didn't make it five days.
Yeah, the good news would be she brought licorice home.
If you're in Sydney.
Yeah, so the licorice shop in Sydney. So that was always good to hear. We've got...
Perhaps a future sponsor of this program.
Yes.
The licorice shop. We have a wedding of Brianna Satter and Christopher Pearson. This is in Churchville, New York. I don't know where Churchville, New York is. It's in September 16th. We wish them all the best. People still... Send these things.
Churchville, New York,
yes.
You say?
This is, okay, let's see what this is. Oh, this is from Lake George, New York, and I do know where Lake George is. I've been to Lake George. This is Brittany and Benjamin, and they're going to celebrate Sunday, July 2nd, so it was already.
Just missed that.
At the Inn at Earl West in Lake George, New York. I have stayed in Lake George, New York a couple of times in my life, and I've stayed at the Montcalm Hotel in Lake George, New York, which is beautiful, particularly beautiful this time of year.
Churchville is in Monroe County, Tony, just west of Rochester.
Right. All right, so we have Dear Dr. Porthauser, we'd be honored to have you at our wedding, but no,
not
of course
happening.
We can't have that. And this is from Benjamin Finkel, who is the
Congrats.
Bridegroom in that. Congratulations to them. And one more wedding, I think, the Margaret Ann Kaufman and Barrett Allen Burka. And this is on the 23rd of September. This will be in Menacha, Texas, with dinner and dancing to follow. So we're happy to announce those things. This is to get back to the more traditional parts of the show. There's also, Nigel has found cigars here, cigars which were given to us by Adam Najarian, the premium territory manager in Altadis USA, Inc. And when did we get these?
I'm not sure when those are.
How many months ago? They're nice. Oh, no, we got those. Oh, we got the California almonds the other day.
Yeah, that was very, very nice. Sweet.
So it's the All-Star break, and you have to talk a little bit about baseball at the All-Star break. The Astros are the most potent offensive club in all of baseball ahead of the Nats. The Dodgers are the most potent defensive club in all of baseball ahead of the Nats, clearly because the Nats have no bullpen, and they've got Clayton Kershaw. The Nats need a bullpen. The Cubs need to wake up. The Yankees and the Red Sox are, as always, lurking. The Nats won a game they needed yesterday, although Freddie Freeman almost killed him. Michael has pointed out, Michael and I and Nigel went to the game, and I will talk about it later. But Michael has pointed out, because I say when Freddie Freeman gets up, I say, this guy's great. He is a great, great player. And Michael, your position is that I may be looking at him through very narrow lenses.
Well, I read a stat that just looked at the high percentage of all of his hits coming against this team. Now, at the same time, we have to acknowledge that in division, such a high percentage of games played
19.
Also happen to be against this team every single year. So I can try and look that up for you. But, man, that guy can hit.
It was 3-0 Nats early. Nats had a lot of hits, a lot of runs, bottom of the first. Freddie Freeman gets up in the third with two on, and you say to yourself, because I
remember. Walks.
Yeah, Joe Ross makes two walks. It's two out. And you say to yourself, I don't want this guy coming up in this particular situation. Boom, opposite field over the left field wall, right?
Yes, and again, to be fair with Joe Ross, who we now know is a little bit injured, like everyone else after he gives
tricep,
up some
something.
Big hit claimed injury. But his velocity was down. He's normally in the mid-90s. Earlier this year, he was back to low 90s, and yesterday he was topping at about 88, 89.
And it went out. And then now I get
home.
There's
as nice a day as you could want to pitch
gorgeous,
yesterday.
Yeah. Gorgeous. Even Strasburg would have liked
that. Yeah.
I get home, and I'm watching towards the end of the game. It's a 7-5 game in the eighth, and Freddie Freeman gets up.
High heat.
Yeah, and Romero, excuse me for coughing, Romero at about 96 and high strikes out Freddie Freeman. At that point, you exhale because you think the Nats are going to win. They add a bunch of runs, and they win that game. That was an important game. According to ownership, that was an important game because you want to be 9.5 ahead. The Braves, who started out crushing the Nats when the Nats first became a franchise.
Oh, completely owning them. And
it reversed utterly.
Yes.
It reversed utterly. And so the Nats would kill the Braves.
Right.
And now the
for
Braves.
A couple seasons.
The Braves are better.
Yeah.
Tori, when you were in Australia, for how many weeks?
No, 10 days.
10 days. Did you keep up with the Nats at all? Did you keep up with anything?
Yeah, and had to listen to my son calling, just, you know, bullpen. Like, okay, we've all figured that out,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But I did listen to a few podcasts to catch up and listen to you guys always talking about the attendance is down and how can the attendance be down?
It's down for the Cubs.
How can you live in this town and not understand why attendance is down? If you are a Washington, D.C. sports fan, you're crushed. You're demoralized.
Yeah.
You don't want to get your little hopes up again. I'm positive that contributes to attendance.
And people leave.
Yeah.
They leave in the
just
summer.
Getting ready for a game five.
Let me ask, in a related matter of personal importance to me, 10 days too short to go that far away? Or is it, if you were doing it all over, maybe stretch it a couple more days? Or it's a long way to go.
It's a long way to go, and it's a long way back. And there's this whole you gain a
and
day,
your,
you lose a
does
day.
Does your 10 days include the day it takes Aaron to
no,
get there?
No, it
did
not.
So you
about,
spent 10 days
yeah.
there.
No, it's totally worth doing. It's a long way to go, but it's totally worth doing. Australia is a great country. People are fabulous. Sydney's the most beautiful city in the world.
And do you
and
speak Australian? Are there issues communicating
yeah.
or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, beer.
You can say all those things.
Yeah.
The home run derby is tonight. Carl Ravitch is going to call it. I'm very happy. I like Ravi a lot. This is a great event. If it turns out that Giovanni Stanton and is
Giovanni?
Adam? Hmm?
No, go ahead.
What did I say?
Giovanni.
Giancarlo
Stanton.
I'm sorry, Giancarlo Stanton, not Giovanni Stanton. He changed his name. I mean, he was not Giancarlo or Giovanni when he came up to the big leagues. Wasn't he Mark Stanton? I mean, look this up.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
How great is that?
Yeah. I mean, it is his name.
Can I change my name?
You can do whatever you want.
Can we refer to him as Giovanni from now on?
And Bellinger. Giovanni
is
a great name.
Well, his name is Giancarlo Cruz Michael Stanton.
It was Michael Stanton. And then he became, he should have become Giovanni. Giancarlo's nice, but he should have become Giovanni. Anyway, and Bellinger, the guy from the Dodgers.
So he went when he ended up in Miami, he went to Giancarlo?
I don't know when he did it. I know that he was not that when he started. But this, I don't even want to talk about this.
Okay.
I have a much greater thing to talk about, and it does not involve the Wall of Fame, because that's later in the show. Yesterday evening, I went out around 7 o'clock. I went out to play the Frisbee game with Chessie. And the Frisbee game is I take 5 Frisbees in my hand and we go out into the backyard and I begin throwing them and it's her job to find them, get them, and then drop that Frisbee as I throw another Frisbee. Usually she
plays it where she stands return it at your feet?
No, just drop it and I'll throw another. I got 5 in my hand.
Right.
She gets bored after about 4 throws and doesn't drop it anymore. That's a signal that a new game has started. And the new game is I continue to throw the rest of the Frisbees. She gathers them all in her mouth, and then we go inside, and she has a cookie. Okay, so there's 2 ways of playing. That's how the game evolves. And our trainer,
it
Sam,
sounds like
says,
she knows the rules.
Yes, Sam says, you can't do this. You have to make her drop it. And I go, well, she won't drop it. Well, you're continually playing into the new game, and it's not sound. And I go, okay, fine. Anyway, as I get ready to go out, she knows, she anticipates the game. She goes to the backyard and waits in the backyard for me to throw the Frisbee. Well, This time, I don't see her anywhere. I don't know where she is. And then deep, as I face my backyard, deep in the left-hand side of the backyard, in the small brush next to the fence, ooh, I see her scrounging around and triumphantly lifting up a bunny.
Oh. There you go, rabbit.
Yay!
A bunny.
Rabbit.
She has lifted up a bunny. She has the bunny by the midsection. She's not unlike...
Yeah, not lifted it up in prayer.
Unlike... Maggie, who was a bird dog and would go after birds, and Maggie would get them and shake them till their necks broke and then present them to you. Present them to you.
This is for you.
Jesse held aloft the bunny, and you heard the bunny go, ee! Went, oh, it was heartbreaking. The bunny went, ee! The bunny got loose.
How big a bunny? Not
a big rabbit.
Okay. But a rabbit, not a baby.
A rabbit.
But
6 feet? Well, no, not 6 feet. Probably a foot in length.
That's a pretty.
She's
big
holding
bunny.
It by the midsection.
Like
it gets loose. She goes and gets it. She goes and gets it and holds it up again. Shakes it a little, but not to kill it.
Right.
Now I'm going, Jesse. Right. Let it go, please. Let it go. Let's play the frisbee game, Jesse. Let's play the frisbee game. And she's not even looking at me.
Of course not.
And then. She takes it into the front yard.
She's carrying it in her mouth.
She's going to show everybody she's got a new friend.
Right.
She's got a bunny. Well,
front yard, it's going to get through. Are there slats in that picket fence?
Yes.
This is where, okay.
Okay, she's going to carry it, and I'm following, and I don't know what to do.
You're thinking about the funeral you're going to have to have.
It's like a hostage negotiation.
She's going to
situation.
Kill this. I'm waiting to see if a stream of blood.
Right. It's a shame there was no tree for bunny. That bunny to climb or and
anything.
Get away from her.
Well, that's a squirrel, not a bunny, of course, as we know. And she's never done this. She's chased them. But if you recall,
you said if they could get them,
there'd be dead rabbits in every yard in America if you could actually catch these things. That's why I think it was a small one. It was a bunny not used to the ways of getting away from dogs. I don't know why this happened, but the bunny got loose. And the bunny went right through the fence.
Yeah.
I looked to see if there was blood on my dog's mouth or blood on her teeth. And I didn't see anything.
Was the bunny moving as you would expect it to? Or did it have like a little hitch in its giddy up?
No, it was please get me out of here.
I think Jesse practices catch and release.
Jesse was playing. Yeah, it just sounds like Jesse's not interested in killing it.
So I can say that to the best of my knowledge, Mr. Bunny is alive.
Thank goodness.
Right.
That Mr. Bunny is alive. And today we went out and played the Frisbee game. But she also... patrolled the fence where she had caught Mr. Bunny yesterday.
Yeah.
So this was, have your dogs ever done
game,
this?
Sounds like.
And they never catch them. But a couple pieces of good news here. One is that we now have a smarter bunny.
Yeah.
Right? That, which doesn't kill us, makes us stronger.
Right,
so that's good.
Right.
And somewhere,
fool me once,
there's a doggy
shame
podcast. Jesse is somewhere on a doggy podcast going, oh my God, am I stupid human? Thought we were going to play with the Frisbees. But no, I had a better game.
Held it up.
The bunny
held it up like she was going to bay. And she's not a beagle. She doesn't bay.
Smiling.
Yeah, she was happy.
Well, she was.
She was happy.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Wild Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now she's a taste
pretty,
for
the
it.
Bunnies, I mean,
that's
must
it.
Be pretty durable.
Yeah,
I mean, not that obviously. If Jesse wants the bunny dead, the bunny's dead.
She takes a big bite,
right?
And then
just
blood,
it.
And then there's a dead.
I think this
rabbit.
Has incented her, and if you keep this going, pretty soon she can take down the deer.
Those deer have eaten the tomatoes every fourth day. Just when you see a couple of yellow blossoms
back
and you think you're going to get a tomato,
boom,
they're wiped out to the ground. To the ground.
My tomatoes are about 4 or 5 feet high right now and look to be. Producing at a good rate. I should have tomatoes this week.
But you don't have deer in your neighborhood.
Not yet.
No, I keep my tomatoes on a covered, screened-in porch.
Ooh.
Well, perhaps you could have done that for me.
Built your
porch?
I'm
sorry, I had something else on my mind over the last couple weeks.
No. I mean before the deer even got to that, sometime in June.
Well, there's this whole 10-month period that leads up to the arrival of a new member of your family.
Yeah.
Bootsy.
Okay. Bootsy.
That's
all right, we'll take a break.
That's exciting.
Good
though.
For Jesse.
Take a break. Yeah,
good for the bunny.
I was sort of proud. Yeah. I thought it was a win-win.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought
exactly.
It was a win-win.
You got entertained.
Do you think it was a split series.
Do you think the bunny like quit smoking and drinking? He's like, I'm turning my life around.
I don't know.
I've seen it.
He's not wearing a little
Please,
clerical
Lord.
Collar.
I was afraid. I did fear for the worst. I did fear for the worst. All right, Howard Fineman joins us. When we return, we will review the Donald Trump fantastic trip to Europe. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the SeatGeek ad, and if you were with me yesterday and you went to the Braves at the Nats, you could have gotten into the ballpark, not like I did in the VIP area, but you could have gotten into the ballpark by going to SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, or seeing me in person yesterday, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money. They search multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your individual budgets. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports like Nats games and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this fabulous podcast get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you do is download the SeatGeek app. That's SeatGeek. The SeatGeek app, you enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Carson Young sends this in. Says, I would humbly like to pass along a song by my group, Down Big, which I think would be a natural fit for the podcast for obvious reasons. Our group consists of a pair of devoted PTI viewers who basically got into the music industry primarily with the dream of having our work serve as a lead-in to an interview with Bob, Ryan, or really anyone if Bob is busy. Please show us that dreams really can come true. This is called Finished in Fresno.
No, I think this song's called Hair, actually.
Oh, it just says this is a country song called Finished in Fresno.
No, they sent us two clips. This one's
called... Oh, this is Hair?
This is called Hair.
Oh, and that's why there's a picture of me wearing that wig. Yes. From a recent PTI. Fantastic. So it's Carson Young, and the band is called Down Big. Howard Fineman, the intergalactic editor of the Huffington Post, or HuffPost now, as it's
HuffPost,
more properly
yes,
called.
Take out those middle syllables.
Those right. Pesky syllables.
Joins us now, and because we haven't done any politics in a long time, and... I was away for most of last week, and when I'm away, I pay no attention to anything that happens in the world, absolutely none. I do know there was a meeting, I don't know, G5, G8, G20, G87, bingo, I don't know. Where was the meeting?
Well, I'm on top of this story, Tony. I know that meeting was in Hamburg, Germany.
Okay. That's good.
I'll take
the Beatles used to play there.
Beatles played That's in Hamburg. Right. Yeah. This was 20 leaders from around the world playing no music together.
Okay, so the most, before we get into the real substance of what may or may not have happened,
right,
the most important question that anyone who's been living in America for the last few months would ask, were there any elbows, any improbable handshakes, was there any movement to bounce like the Montenegro guy out of the shot?
Well, since the G20, the G20 are the major players. You know, they're the okay. ones who get the VI. They get to go in the back room with the Cristal. And so
okay.
These are like the
right.
major players.
Right.
So Montenegro, the guy from Montenegro wouldn't even get past the velvet rope.
Okay.
He wasn't there.
Right.
So he didn't, Donald Trump did not elbow anybody. It was sort of the opposite. Donald Trump was this gigantic in a way, because America's still, you know, we're still the number one country. Okay,
yeah,
we got
yeah.
more than a quarter of the world's economy. We got 8,000 warheads.
We're the Yankees.
Yeah, we're the Yankees. We're still the Yankees. Yeah. But Donald Trump sort of sat off on his own for a number of occasions, and there were moments and photographs where he didn't exactly look forlorn, but it looked like nobody really wanted to talk to him a whole lot, and he didn't care, because he's saying, I'm Donald Trump.
Right.
You know, I don't care. You don't want to talk to me? Fine. You go make your little deals, Germany or whatever. I'm Donald Trump, so I don't care. And a lot was written about the isolation of Donald Trump.
The desolation of Smudge.
Okay, at this event. But, you know, part of Donald Trump's message is, and what got him elected was, you know, we're going to do it our way, America first, and if that means alone,
yeah,
fine.
Now, the rest of you people can pound
now,
sand.
Those photographs were a little bit misleading because he was in on all the meetings and he had all kinds of so-called bilateral meetings with individual members of the G20, some of which went apparently pretty well. But, yeah, they disagree with him on climate change. The big thing is the climate change stuff, all the rest of the world either actually does or pretends to care about
even
that.
Even China.
Well, even if not especially China, because China sees a huge market to make gazillion solar panels to sell to the rest of the world.
Right. So, I wondered the last time that he was together, I thought with Merkel of Germany, she gave him the fish hand. She was not crazy about him at all.
Well, they're not, yes, because Angela Merkel is now the main person, along with Xi Jinping of China, who are saying, you know, we need a unified global system of trade, of searching for solutions about the climate. We want international structures and international orders where all countries agree that this is a community, as Angela Merkel said, a community and not an arena.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not demolition derby, it's
right.
A community. And so Merkel of Germany is the person now, ironically given history, who is the main proponent of that view, community, not arena. And Donald Trump is an arena guy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Total arena guy.
He's U2. He wants to play in front of 80,000 in the big gym.
But I was thinking more of WWE, yeah, but same idea.
Yeah, okay. So let me get to the thing that because I was watching the Today Show earlier this morning, and mm-hmm. apparently our new best friend is Vlad Putin, who, and this is something that surprised me, he was wearing a shirt for almost all the shots that I saw.
Not riding a horse either.
Right, so now, not only is he our best friend, but we're going to work together on Cyprus. What is this?
Well, yes. Well, of course, the big question for American journalism heading into this big global economic meeting, which is what the G20 is, was whether Donald Trump would, when he met Vladimir Putin, apparently for the first time. They had not met? Despite the fact that Donald Trump used to say...
That green room story. Remember, he used to say that they were in a green room together and they were best friends?
Yeah, they were together, they knew him. Donald Trump used to be very vague, and he will drop a name whether he's met that person or not.
Right.
Like, he was in Russia, so he figured, okay, that's Vlad's country.
So I met him.
So I met him.
We went to dinner.
Yeah. It's like we went to dinner.
Thing.
But this,
he showed me his Super Bowl ring.
This is a
very impressive.
Bad idea to show him a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
So they met for the first time. The big question was going to be, and this was at the end of the event, this two-day thing, whether Trump would bring up the issue of Russian interference in the American election.
Right.
And
which is only the hottest topic in America with 87 million people investigating it.
Right. And Trump apparently did. But the question is how he did that, because Trump clearly wants to do business with Putin, clearly feels a need to do business with Putin, which is one reason why the investigations are going on. Does Putin have something on him? Did Donald Trump get dirty money from Russia? You know, what the heck is going on? Why, after essentially 60 or 70 years of American policy, if not 100 years of American policy, of suspicion of Russia, which used to be the Soviet Union and is now Russia again, why all of a sudden do we have a president who is going against all of that history and seems to want nothing more than to be partners with Russia? So the question is, how did he ask that question? Was it like, why did you dare interfere in our election? Our intelligence services say you interfered in our election.
I would think
no, he didn't do it that way.
You didn't do anything, did
no,
you?
No, what he did was
no, you
he,
didn't
said,
do anything,
he said,
right?
he said you didn't interfere in our election, did you? And Putin said,
No, of course not.
Let's move on.
So we're cool now.
We're cool.
Let's go to the gate.
Let's move on.
Right.
Check. And
well, of course that's how he did
it. Yes. So, of course that's how he did it.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, the interesting thing to me was in that meeting of four people, it was Vladimir Putin, Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, who I've met I interviewed once at the
who
UN.
Who was Flynn's boy. That was Flynn's guy.
Yes, incredibly tough guy who survived everything. He's even more of a survivor than Putin himself. Rex Tillerson, who did tons of business with both of these guys.
Oil business.
And Donald Trump. So in that group of four, not counting the translators, the three, Putin, Lavrov, and Tillerson, all knew each other 10 times better than any of them knew Donald Trump.
Sure. Sure.
Donald Trump is the putz in the room.
So great to hear.
With those four. And questions remain, and questions are not going to go away about Trump's financial relationship.
Of course they're not going to go away. They're being investigated by Mueller.
Right. And the interesting thing to look at, Tony, is who Mueller is hiring. It's not whether some of them gave contributions to Democrats, which they did, which is dumb. Arguably, it gives Trump a reason to complain and try to undermine the investigation. But he's hiring a lot of people who are experts in international financial transactions. And I think where they're headed is money laundering.
Okay.
That's their theory.
Well, Bob Woodward, follow the money.
That's their theory of the case. And the question may come down to, if they find that the Trump Organization over the years, starting with Trump's bankruptcies in Atlantic City in the early 90s, whether there's that kind of corrupt relationship. But what does that necessarily have to do with an impeachable offense? Mm. And, you know, it's going to come down to, if it gets that far, the question of whether a guy who came from an organization that did shady stuff with Russia should be convicted and thrown out of office for the way he made money in the past.
So let me go to this, and that's the long-term
that's
view.
That's the long-term.
The short-term view is one of Donald's kids had a meeting with some
right.
very attractive Russian lawyer, it seems to me, and the purpose
Well, for the screenplay, you want her to be an extremely attractive.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like Nina in The Americans.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like that kind.
Right.
Just there to help you. Just there to help you and ease your pain.
And this is, and allegedly they had this meeting because she had dirt on Hillary Clinton?
Well, what was, yes.
That's like well, common first, pizza. What is that?
It made no sense, as even Donald Jr. admitted. But right after Donald Trump locked up the nomination at the end of May and early June, you got Paul Manafort has just come in there as a campaign chairman. You've got Jared Kushner who's increasingly playing a key role in the campaign, and had played a key role in the campaign. And this woman comes via a third party. She's recommended by, I think, this is not in the Times story, but I'm pretty sure this is correct. It was the guy who ran the Miss Universe pageant in Moscow in 2013.
Which Donald Trump would be inclined
to like. When Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr.
Like.
Were at and having a nice time there and bursting into the dressing room probably, which is, you know, you're allowed if you run the thing. That person suggested to Donald Jr. that he meet with this woman, the Mata Hari lawyer.
Okay.
And ostensibly, Donald Trump's first story on Saturday was he met with her because she said he heard that she wanted to talk about adoption
Russian
issues
adoption.
And also the fact that there was an American law that had put 44 of Putin's buddies, rich buddies, on a list saying they can't travel to the United States, American banks can't process their stuff. So that was ostensibly the reason why she went. Then as the New York Times investigated further, and as I think possibly Jared Kushner, representatives of Kushner and Manafort said different stories about how this meeting came about.
It's fabulous.
Then Donald Jr. came out and said, you know, it really wasn't about adoption. It's because I was told that she had information to the effect that the Clinton campaign was collaborating with the Russians.
Oh, them too.
Yeah, them
Fantastic.
Too.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And he said, I quickly realized when she came in that that was not the real reason, because it made no sense that the Clinton campaign was colluding with the Russians.
Because
for the obvious reason that we were.
That's right. We were.
Keeping them busy.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so.
So that's where that is. And that's that'll great. Be investigated. Okay. And that's so the Russia thing is not going to go away, but it's going to come down. I can tell you, Tony, that first of all, in Europe, everybody is agog at all this stuff. They don't know who's running anything, because I did do some reporting over there in Milan and went to this big...
You mean while you were buying shoes?
While I was buying shoes.
Yeah.
At the think tank, the big international political think tank there. And they said, who's running this? Is Bannon running? Is Tillerson running it? They don't assume that Trump is running it.
This is, and Gary can vouch for this because he can read question six.
Yeah.
Is anything getting done?
Yes. But not to the naked eye of most people looking at Washington. I think if you know about the bureaucracy in Washington, Trump is deaf, and his people, some of whom are extremely smart and extremely determined, very, very smart people, they want to dismantle the regulatory state. And they're going about it to the extent that they can without passing laws through Congress. And there's a lot they could do administratively because over the years, the imperial presidency, occupied by all presidents, has built up an enormous executive function without the approval of Congress. The downside of that for them is that Trump can rip all the wires out of that.
Okay.
And agencies all over Washington that regulate the coal industry or the communications industry or you name the industry, they are the workforce, labor law, you name it, they're ripping the stuff out to the extent they can without action from Congress. Congress has done nothing and probably will do nothing.
Will there be a health care bill?
No. I think what's going to happen is that Mitch McConnell, they're going to decide that, you know what, the Democrat, it's still called Obamacare. Let's not, if we're not going to replace it with something logical, if we can't agree, politically going into 2018, the better thing to do might be
Just leave it
because some genius who wrote the law decided that all the premium increases in the marketplace would come the week before, like first week of November. So they're looking to blame those continued increases. They think that the default setting still is negative for the Democrats, Trump's own promises notwithstanding.
This is fantastic. This is great. And as a reward, you get a six-pack of Iron City beer.
I'll drink it probably before I go in the office this morning.
Do that, and also drink it before we bomb North Korea in case.
Right.
Oh
yeah, that's drink it quickly.
That's another morning. Yeah, let's. If I hear that the missiles are headed that way or our way, I'll drink it.
Drink it. Okay. Thank you, Howard Fineman, boys and girls, the intergalactic editor of the Huff Post, who lives just a few blocks away.
I'm in the neighborhood.
I'm walking in the morning.
He's still in his PJs.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We will come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I like this. I like this. This is Zach Wheaton. He is a podcast little from Sacramento. He says, I play in a few bands, but my personal favorite is the one I play drums in called Ghoul School. G-H-O-U-L, Ghoul School. Despite how spooky the name sounds, we're two guys, two gals who make pretty fun and cute music. The song I'm sending you is Dissed You and has some delightful samba parts in the choruses and at a 151 running time is perfect for those with short attention spans. Thank you to Zach Wheaton. Michael, if people want to send music, and they can do that all year long, how do they do it?
As always, they can email the show at jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. Quick question. Are you still listening to the old CDs that people used to make you that you listened to on the way out to the beach?
Yeah, every once in a while. If somebody sends them in, I'll plug them in. Sure. Why?
No, I was...
Yeah, that would be nice.
Off air, you were saying that you were driving out to the beach today, and I was wondering what you were going to listen to.
Well, sometimes I drive without any sound at all for quite some time, and then I get bored with myself and put some music in. So if there are mixes, I tend to play them. And they're all really good, so... Oh, also, are we selling... We're going to try and put Chatter t-shirts together, aren't we, at some point?
Yes, we are.
Chatter.
And we'll start selling them, I suspect, in August or September.
Maybe even sooner.
Maybe even sooner. That
Rob
would be
June. It's very
maybe June. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
June looks good. ER names.
Yeah.
Sad.
Just, yeah. So you have news. Nigel has news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. And this just in to the Kornheiser investigative team.
Yeah.
Apparently you've purchased a new bag.
I have purchased it. Well, no, I haven't purchased a new bag.
You got a new bag.
Yeah, I went out when I was at the beach. I went to...
Papa's got a brand new bag.
I went to Wilson's House of Leather. And I had said that the bag that I bought in April was beginning to shred. It was, I was losing.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
It wasn't working for me. And it was basically a suede bag and it wasn't working for me. And the sort of finishes on the stitched parts and
right.
around the
seams,
around the seams and around the things that held the zippers together, they were vanishing. They were falling apart.
3 months into owning it?
So, I don't think suede is a good choice for
Well, what
an
happened
item
was,
like
I said, and the woman who was running the store said, do you have a receipt? And I said, no, I don't have a receipt, but check the bag. You'll see that you sell it here. And I said, it's just no good. And she was very, very kind and said, okay, we'll give you an exchange.
Wow.
And they determined that it was worth X amount of money and showed me where the X amount of money stuff was. And I got a new bag. And
oh,
this
cool.
is, and
yeah.
I hope it works. I hope it works. I like it.
So they didn't carry that exact one anymore.
They did
but
not.
But they saw that they did. yes. prior and just said, we'll give yes. you even up. That's yeah. pretty good.
That was very great. That's great. Very kind. Yes. Very kind. I have nothing but
I just want to
nice
point
words.
Out that there's not another newscast in the world.
That begins stop. With that?
That begins with that.
Well, yeah, that's very special. Special
I didn't even know you'd notice that.
Of course. Didn't okay. even have to go, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Some big news for the Wizards.
Yeah.
Otto Porter not going anywhere. The Wizards Yay. Match the offer sheet signed offered by the Nets, and he will now be paid over 4 years, $106.5 million.
Yeah, they were able to retain him for a mere $500,000 less per year than Kevin Durant is making.
He is making, Otto Porter Jr. makes more money than any athlete in Washington, D.C. There is nobody, not even Otto Porter Sr., if such a person exists, that would say he is the best player in any sport in Washington, D.C. He's not the best player on his own team. Now, no. what I wonder about with this is John Wall very publicly said, we got the shooting guard, we got the point guard, we got the center, we got the power forward. We need Paul George. He specifically left out Otto Porter Jr. How yeah. is that going to work out? How is that? John Wall said publicly of Otto Porter Jr., get out and don't let the door hit you.
Yes.
And so now Otto Porter Jr. makes more money than John Wall.
That's right.
And Kirk Cousins and Bryce Harper and Max Scherzer. Makes more money than, and Alex Ovechkin. Makes more money than everybody. Everybody.
Kirk so. Cousins will not even be offered that much money. I mean, no. You could argue he's the one who arguably could be paid.
And what does he get on the franchise tag? Like
24.
Is it 23
or 24, but not 25. Something.
And the deadline for him is on the 15th, right?
Who cares?
Yes,
correct.
Exactly.
Who really cares?
That would seem to support my position of the sort of irrational exuberance of the NBA contracts. But
you think that's good? You think that's a bubble waiting to burst?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. But more importantly to me, just as a Wizards fan, I worry that it dooms them, that it sort
Who
of locks
get?
Them into where they are.
That's right. They have flexibility.
I don't
and
see
by the way,
road to being the best team in
no,
the East.
And
here.
No one will ever pick up his contract.
No.
Ever. He's not worth that much. No one will get that. So he's gonna get that whole deal.
Yeah, now, it was really a catch-22 because had you let him go, it's not like you could say we were saving money for
no,
free
they don't
agent
have anybody
XYZ,
to get.
All of whom had already
Paul
landed.
George,
so,
no.
Now, the good news for the Wizards is that the conference they're in gets worse and worse and worse as the stars go to the Western Conference, so maybe they have a better shot, but they can't beat Cleveland. Right. I wouldn't think. What else?
James Harden, speaking of big contracts
What
the
is
NBA,
his deal?
He a signs a deal, six seasons, $228 million, makes it the richest contract in league history. Just leapfrogged Steph Curry from a few weeks ago. And how about this note? When the contract expires and when he's at the age of 33, he will have made a projected $318 million
That's more
just
than
from his
I
NBA
will make.
Contract. I think there's another $200 million he's probably made
from the Adidas.
From Adidas, yes.
Yeah, so that's more than I'm going to make. Good for him.
Just a little bit.
Good for him.
Get those T-shirts selling.
Yes.
That'll yeah, put well, you right yeah, up there. Sure.
$463,000 a game. Based on my quick math.
Even the games he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Right.
When he's hurt, he still makes $463,000
I'm going to set this
game.
One out, Skip. Sorry.
Yeah.
David Griffin has removed his name. He's the former GM for the Cavaliers. He has removed his name for the search for a GM.
No, because they wouldn't give him any authority. So why would
he do it? Yeah, I have also removed my name from consideration.
Yes, Gary, thank you for that. Yes.
What else?
And staying with the NBA, Markelle Fultz fitting right
headed
in with
right down the road to perdition with the Philadelphia 76ers.
A high ankle sprain to his left ankle. He will not play for the rest of the summer.
All right, now, the Philadelphia 76ers, famously, Joel Embiid, they drafted with their first pick. Not the overall first, but their first pick. Missed his first two seasons, played 31 games last year, and then missed the rest of them, and that would be 51 games. Ben Simmons, drafted one overall, hasn't played at all, right. Missed the whole year.
Yes.
Markelle Fultz, boom. You know, there is zero chance.
Well, those high ankle sprains don't linger.
The Philadelphia 7, this is what happens. Don't be drafted by them. Don't be drafted. Nerlens Noel, very high pick for them, weighs 110 pounds, couldn't play for a year. Right. Couldn't play. Could not play.
So. Just the process, right?
Yeah.
Noel, sixth overall. Embiid, third overall. Yeah. So all these guys, super top picks.
Yeah.
I know this is an event that you keep a close eye on year in and year out. This is the running of the Bulls in Pamplona, Spain.
I understand why people do this. I would not do this. I think it's stupid.
Much faster than you think.
Yeah. It all stems from, the popularity stems from the Hemingway book, The Sun Also Rises.
Of course.
So everyone wants to pretend to be Hemingway, right, and they run in this.
That's why I drink.
They want to pretend to be Hemingway until the end of Hemingway. They don't want to do that.
Right, that's the bond.
Right.
But if five people have been gored over the first few days, four Americans, a Spaniard. I guess this whole thing lasts about 9 days. One of the men...
They keep running.
It's a long run.
Yeah, one of the men...
have you seen the horns on these things?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is not like baby deer in your backyard.
This is not the bunny.
Right. No, it's
but
not.
You know, if Chessie keeps up her training...
Yeah, she could go after a bull.
You could put some plastic horns on her. She could head on over.
Yeah, apparently one of the bulls named Hurricane...
they have names?
I think they're all named Hurricane.
Well, Hurricane, I guess in Spanish it's Hurricane.
K-H-A-N.
Yes. And you just see them running through the crowd, swinging the horns.
Oh, yeah. Yes, boring people.
One of the blokes from
carrying them on the horns sometimes for quite a few meters.
It's not a fun experience.
No, it doesn't seem to be.
No.
At least the horns are
But one of the blokes from Chicago who got gored, who has been gored in the past, said, I will run again before this tournament's over.
Well,
going for the trifecta.
Because he's an idiot?
That would be the first word that comes to my mind. Uber drivers.
I hate them.
Yes.
I'm going to be very brief on Uber. Tori, you're giving me that look like
yes,
I shouldn't hate.
Yes, I love Uber.
Well, he'll explain.
Every time
Still
I drive.
Still waiting for my refund.
Yeah. Every time I drive. First of all, in the District of Columbia, every one of them has Virginia plates.
Yes.
They have no idea where they're going. They make right turns from left lanes. They make left turns from right lanes. They have no respect for anybody
else on the
road. And
they're ostensibly unmarked cars.
They
which
are
is
unmarked
the
cars. It's
you.
Not like a cab
right.
where you can see it coming and get out of the lane. They just stop, and they stay there for an hour. They should be ticketed. Not only ticketed, they should be booted and taken out. Yeah. Get tow
they
trucks.
Just stop.
And
are you Michael Kornheiser?
Just
I am
get
today.
Rid of them.
Hop in.
They're a plague. Them and Lyft and all their plagues. They're plagues in a city. They are. They don't know where they're going.
I will say this. Uber black car.
Well, that's different.
Yes.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Yes.
That I like that.
Yes.
There we go.
And what is that thing? What is that insignia on the back of some cars? There's two lanes, and it looks like you're going down a hill, and it says Virginia or VA on it. What is that signal? I think that's a car service, too. I think so. So, anyway, I don't like Uber. I mean, I think they're putting cab companies out of business.
Well, here's the thing.
Sure.
What they've done
Although
is...
Although maybe you would say that cab companies are not responsible.
Cab companies, and let's just stick to D.C. for a minute here.
Right.
D.C., you've always had to know where you're going. You got a D.C. cab, you always had to know where you're going. You had to know the zone system, all that nonsense, right? And it was terrible. So they absolutely created the opportunity for things
like
Uber and Lyft to come in.
And I will say this. When you used to order a cab, you call up, you know, whatever cab company in D.C.
It wasn't even 50-50 if it would show up.
45 minutes later, they're not there, and say, oh, we'll be there in a second.
Can I do one other thing here?
Cause cool,
I
your
can.
Show.
This is about Gary Williams, my friend Gary Williams, my partner in Chatter, Gary Williams. You know that I've said before that I believe that Gary Williams should be allowed to play for free at every golf course in the state of Maryland, everyone, because he won the national championship at the big state university. Where I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was trying to think, who else won championships at the schools that they attended? Jim Boeheim attended Syracuse. He's won the national championship at Syracuse. So for me, Jim Boeheim, because Syracuse is a private school and not the big public university of New York, because there is no real big public university of New York, I would say that Boeheim should be allowed to play for free at every upstate course. Every single upstate course in New York State should reach out to Jim Boeheim and say, you want to play?
Yes.
Yeah, come on. You play for free. Kevin Ollie won the national championship at the University of Connecticut, where he had played. I believe he had played there. He won with Calhoun's guys.
He was interim.
He won with Calhoun's guys, but he should be allowed to play anywhere in Connecticut. Mike Krzyzewski went to the United States Military Academy. Right. I don't know where Bill Self went. I don't think he went to Kansas. Did Roy Williams go to North Carolina? I'm not sure he went to North Carolina. If he did, he should play for free at any course in North Carolina. You have to look these things up. John Wooden, the greatest ever, went to Purdue. If it happens, well, what's his name? Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah.
He played at Alabama. He won at Clemson. If you've won, particularly from the state school in your state, you should play for free anywhere in that state.
Roy Williams went to North Carolina.
Yeah, played on the JV team.
Then Roy Williams should go anywhere in the state of North Carolina to play for Free Tory.
I think this is a lovely idea. How did you get to that from rants about Uber?
I had written it down because I wanted
a straight line in his mind. And I think
a rant to Gary Williams makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Gary's my partner. So I mean, now it may be that there's a course in Western Maryland that Gary says I'm not driving there. I don't want to. But they should make the offer.
Rocky Gap.
And it'd be good for the golf courses.
Yes,
too.
They should, because he won the national championship at the school he attended.
He elevated the state.
Yeah. This complicates it. But to be fair, Gary is already a member of 3 out of the 10. Top golf courses in the state of
Maryland. I know, so he can play there whenever he wants, but he should be able to play anywhere he wants.
I like that.
Anywhere he wants, because he brought honor and glory to the state of Maryland. And I'm just wondering.
Actually, 4. One of them has 2 courses.
That's right. That's right.
And is there some reciprocity amongst them or no?
No. Okay. Anyway, okay, so
I would also commend to the Littles, because I think we're out of time, but the story about the guy on the plane from Seattle, the Do You Know Who I Am guy, did you hear that story?
No.
Oh, my goodness. A guy.
Oh, yes.
Can I take 30 seconds? A guy flying, I believe it was a, Delta plane? I'm not sure.
It might have been United. I'm not sure.
Maybe perhaps United?
Well, nobody's sure.
Flying on what's
called... Well, why don't we just name American also?
Okay, well, he'll pull it up and figure it out.
We've covered the three big ones.
It was Pan Am.
There's no Pan Am.
He was flying on a dependent pass, meaning he had some connection to someone within the organization, although they hadn't identified who yet. Apparently went into the bathroom after the plane had taken off, I think, from SeaTac, going to somewhere. Where was it going? Somewhere overseas.
It was definitely an international flight.
Yeah, Beijing or something. And went in the bathroom for a little bit, came out, talked to a flight attendant, went back in for a couple minutes, came out.
Delta.
Essentially went at the flight attendant, went straight to the door to try to open the door. Not to the cockpit, the door to the side of the plane.
Yeah, the main door. The big
They attempted to restrain him. He went, "Do you know who I am?" He's no one. 23-year-old kid.
Okay.
Punch a flight attendant in the face a couple times.
Hit someone else with a
wine bottle. Yeah, right. Ultimately, the flight attendant hit him with 2 wine bottles, and smashing one over his head.
And strap him down.
Yes. But he struggled the whole time.
And then you have to land.
They
turned around and went back to SeaTac and had to land, and it was like a 5-hour delay for all of the people.
Oh, that's jail time.
Yes. Jail time. 25 years.
Oh, it's jail time.
Yeah. I'll show you a picture.
This was a flight on the way to Beijing, I believe.
He came perilously close. I mean, he had already unlocked the door.
Yes, and he pushed it, it would have opened.
Yes.
I doubt that.
Oh, my God.
That was what was reported.
There is a story about monkeys that we will get to on our next show.
On our next one. So we will now.
Big monkey story.
We'll have Old Guy when we return, and I will tell you the story about the wonderful, wonderful honor that came to me yesterday. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is the in crowd, Dobie Gray. Nigel, why did you pick Dobie Gray? I love this. Everybody loves this song.
Right. There's 2 Dobie Gray songs that we love. We love this and Drift Away.
Drift Away is spectacular.
Such a great song. Because you're on the in crowd, you know? You're on the Wall of Fame now.
Oh, I am.
Which I know the story you'll tell.
This is the story.
This was a song in 1964. Was reached number 13 rather for Dobie Gray.
It's the easiest song to dance to if you ever like
it. It's great.
It's beautiful.
And there's a great cover. A lot of people covered this. The Ramsey Lewis Trio covered this.
Without music, without lyrics.
It was instrumental, and I'd never heard it before, and it's in the soundtrack to that great movie about the Cray brothers with Tom Hardy.
Legend.
Yeah, it's part of that soundtrack.
I would tell you that Ramsey Lewis was first. You're saying no?
No. Recorded later that same year. And by the way, in fact, recorded at a place called Bohemian Caverns, a Washington, D.C. nightclub.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, unaware of that.
Yes.
So that's very, very
nice. May I, before we get to your story, this is just a podcast after all, can I just put a bow on that story we were talking about in the last segment about the guy trying to open up the... So this from the CNN story, so it's presumably true. Possibly true. The flight attendants then signaled to passengers they needed help. This is after the second time he tried to open it. During the altercation, Hudak punched a flight attendant twice in the face and hit another assisting passenger with a bottle of wine. Hudak then attempted again to open the exit door. As the struggle continued, another flight attendant grabbed 2 wine bottles and struck Hudak in the head, breaking one. Quote, Hudak did not seem impacted by the breaking of a full liter
red wine bottle, red wine, I love the point
the detail.
Red right. wine bottle over his head, and instead Kendall shouted, Jackson. Do Needed you know who bottle. I am, or something to that extent, according to the complaint. Hudak was able to break away several times during the altercation. Ultimately, several first-class passengers and flight attendants were able to restrain him, put zip-tie handcuffs on him.
Good.
And hopefully, I add parenthetically, beat him about the head and shoulders as the plane turned around.
What a dope.
Yeah. A nice oaky Chardonnay jail. Would have had him at first he's glance.
He's going to go to jail. Okay.
A little tannic, that red.
So yesterday, I was able to go to the Nats game as an inductee into the Wall of Fame, the Washington, D.C. Sports Wall of Fame, which can be seen from many of the seats in the right field stands, but cannot be seen from many of the seats in the left field stands because it's in dead left field. So, right, Michael, it's in dead left?
Yes.
So, everybody knew that I was going to go. And by the way, my great thanks to Tracy Tran, who organized a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of littles, to go sit in a particular section. And
Section 227.
Michael, you and Nigel went out there before the
game.
Yeah,
it was
Tell
great
that
to catch. Well, Nigel and I spent a good while searching for this section
yes.
and for all these wonderful listeners who went up there. And it was a great
They have
mix,
my undying gratitude.
And it was a great mix of just, you know, regular littles who support everything. They are running Facebook groups in support of the show. They're coming out to a lot of events, coming out to chatter. And people who are not really near to the area, coming down from Philadelphia. So it was just really nice to catch up with them. The fact that
And you gave them koozies?
Yes. The fact that they would come sit at a baseball game, they didn't know it was going to be a beautiful day. It could be
right.
You know,
it could have been awesome.
It could be 95 degrees.
For something that is before the game, a 5-minute ceremony just to be able to cheer and shout for you. It was really just wonderful.
It's really, really nice.
It's lovely.
It's really nice. So, of course, the closer it got, the more I didn't want to go. And yesterday morning, I said, I don't want to do this. It's really stupid. I don't want to do it. The following people were being inducted into the Washington Sports. The plaque says Hall of Fame, even though the thing says. So I think
typo.
I can,
you think?
I think I can sign
hashtag
Dr. Tony Kornheiser
HOF
and Dr. Tony Kornheiser WOF.
Woof, woof,
woof is like. I'd like to say woof,
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 woof. Woof.
So I would like to do that. So it's Juan Dixon was honored and his father accepted for him. Brenda Fries, the head coach of the women's basketball team, who also won a national championship at the University of Maryland.
She should be able to play anywhere she wants.
She should play for free. She was honored, and a member of the administrative staff at Maryland came in and did that. Glenn Harris, who for many years was a sportscaster in town, was honored. I was honored. Katie Ledecky and her brother Michael, her whole family came, and they were great to talk to. And we're going to do a Katie Ledecky podcast in pop-up podcast in August. Her brother Michael, accomplished in his own right, went out there. Really nice kid.
Yes.
Tom McMillan, the great basketball player, former congressman. Yeah. The biggest recruit Lefty Driesell ever had was
Tom
McMillan.
Three terps, huh? Fries, yeah, Dixon, yeah. and McMillan.
Mike Nelms, who was on special teams for so
him.
Long,
Never
and everybody loved
catch.
Him. Yeah. Everybody loved him with the Redskins. Paul Tagliabue went to school at Georgetown and was the commissioner of the NFL for many years, and a wonderful guy, a wonderful guy. And Ron Weber, who announced Capitals games forever and is in the Hockey Hall of Fame, the actual Hockey cool. Hall of Fame. So they're honored.
Ho.
And I was before, Michael can attest to this, before the event started, the day before or even that day, I was reluctant because I felt I would be the shortest person there. This is what came into my head.
Based on the pictures I saw.
That I would be the shortest person, and I didn't really want to do that. Anyway, we went. The baby, Bootsy, was supposed to go, but wiser heads prevailed and people said you cannot put that child in a petri dish of germs, right? That was essentially
so at first,
Sarah's mom.
In another week, you can't.
At first, we were worried about temperature, and then we found out it was going to be in a suite, so we figured, okay, we'll go straight from the car seat, you go into the tunnel, put the baby in a baby carrier, you go up through the elevator, and you're safe for a couple hours. And then the question was, well, what do you do if the baby needs to have his diaper changed or he needs to feed? We did research. Apparently,
you drop him on the floor and you change
him. Apparently, they have mothers' rooms at these stadiums where you just go and it's like a private little oasis away from the stadium. So we thought we were good. And we did all the practice runs with the baby carriers walking up and down the stairs. And then we found out that the biggest issue was just the germs that, you know, basically, every time we have Dad come over, we tell him to Purell everything, which he does not do. And
I took the shot, though. All right, I got the shot.
Right. After months of push.
I got the whooping cough. I got it.
Shot.
Yeah.
So yeah, we then found out that the biggest issue would just be germs. So. Bootsy stayed at home and tried to watch, but they did not have the ceremony on TV.
No, ceremony not on TV. Some small allusion to it in the paper.
Look up the Washington Post story. The photo that they are running with this has just you looking in the wrong direction.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
You're off to the side.
Okay.
Did they send a car and driver?
No, I drove. I drove and we got Lot A.
Oh, but you got nice parking.
Nice, oh, no, yeah. Really nice parking.
Yeah,
we got parking. Really nice parking, Lot A.
Yes.
Everybody was so nice. Carly, who ran the thing, was just so nice. I will tell you what, you know, they put you in a suite with everybody and everybody chats. And then you go down to a room, you know, for media availability. And some people ask you questions. And the great Charlie Brotman asked some questions. And then Carol Maloney from Channel 4 asked some questions. At one point, she said, well, you've had many honors. How would you rate this? And I went, you know.
Best one today.
We haven't had the AP poll on this. We haven't had the coaches haven't spoken. I don't really have a good answer for that. But I will tell you that there have been things in my life that have been disappointing. This was so much better. This exceeded my expectations so much. You are walked out onto the field. You sit down in chairs, and then individually they call you up. Charlie Slows did the announcing, and they call you up. And I got to walk. This is
how soon before the game starts?
Half hour.
Okay.
So I think there was probably if they got 35,000, maybe there were 10,000 in the stands. No more than that.
That's about right.
I walked out onto a major. Oh, by the way, I said, "How do you dress?" Because I wanted to wear a pair of shorts and a T-shirt, and they said, "No, you don't have to wear a tie, but a sport jacket and, you know, and slacks."
You
and
were so rocking I even wore red.
I did.
You were the best looking guy there.
I got the Johnny O Nats
official
shirt.
Licensed gear.
Yeah, no, I got that, and I was out there. I was wearing a wedding suit jacket. You know, from Michael and Liz's wedding.
Getting
I
had a lot of wear out of that jacket.
Real pants.
Yeah. And socks.
I wore socks.
That's
wow.
A big deal.
I wore
deal
socks.
You,
yeah. Tagliabue and Michael Ledecky had jacket and tie. Tom McMillan, just a sports shirt. And anyway, I am called out there, and I am now walking on a Major League Baseball field. Now, I covered a lot of baseball, but you stood around the cage. You don't walk on the field. No. You don't cross the line like Moonlight Graham. You don't go over the line. I got to walk out onto a major league field, and they announced my name, and I got to hear applause on a major league field. And this reminded me of something that I went to years ago in 1984, the Los Angeles Olympics, the closing ceremonies. Peter Uberoth, who was rumored at various points in his life to be running for president and never did, Peter Uberoth ran the Olympics, and the last night at the closing ceremonies, this is the L.A. Coliseum that seats 100,000 people, and 100,000 people applauded for Peter Uberoth, and I remember thinking to myself right then and there, I wonder what that's like. What a thrill that must be, 100,000 people cheering for you. It's the great Joe DiMaggio thing where Marilyn Monroe says, you never heard anything like it. He says, well, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. So I got to walk out there. I'm sure the littles shouted La Cheeseria. I could not make out La Cheeseria. A bunch of people who worked there when I passed them would say La Cheeseria,
so
which is always thrilling.
So great.
But to walk out there and hear that applause was absolutely thrilling. And I did the thing that it's not that I always wanted to do. It was fairly spontaneous. Oh, I turned around. I waved to everybody.
Yay!
I gave it the big two hands up in the air.
Little flourish.
Come on. Let's hear it. And it was just did a 360. It was really nice. It was just
cool.
Exceeded expectations. We were then walked into the Lerner's suite where the food is good.
Yeah, really
as
good.
Mrs. Lerner said to me, come over here. We have a private chef. Take this is apple crumb cake. This is really good. So I took it. And she said, well, do you want to take some for the people in the suite? I go, I'm going to eat this myself. And they had great hot dogs, and they kept us in there for a while and spoke to Ted Lerner as well, who actually said, we really need this game. And I resisted the impulse. No, I didn't resist with him. I said, no, what you really need is a closer. Oh. I did say that to him.
He's never heard that before.
I resisted when Mike Rizzo was out there shaking hands during the ceremony, and I know Rizzo, and I like Rizzo, I resisted the impulse to say, hey, get a closer. I just said, this is great.
But you texted him later.
No.
Get a closer.
So they gave me a plaque. I was not expecting a plaque.
Name spelled correctly?
Name spelled correctly. The name is on the wall. I am between Huge. Ole the Goalie, Ole Kolzik, and Sam Lacy, the great sports writer.
Nice company.
Yes. Now, I think when you die, they take your name down. I don't have any idea. But I was thrilled, and I will leave this to Michael and Nigel. What did you think of it?
So we were in the 200 levels where we paused after catching up with the littles to watch you run onto the field. And
I didn't run.
I sort of in my mind imagined that you ran out of the dugout from a crouch with a glove underneath.
3 points.
Ready to go, Skip.
With a glove underneath your
put me
armpit.
In, Coach. I'm ready to play.
Man, it would have been great if you came out of the bullpen, though, just a full 45-second jog onto the field. No, it's interesting to hear you say what it felt like to run to walk out onto the field, because it was pretty moving to see my dad out there on a Major League Baseball field, because for me, I did not grow up having baseball in D.C. I grew up being an Orioles fan and having
because they didn't have
memories
of going to
Camden Yards with yeah. you, where we'd leave in the fifth inning. And it was,
well, I left in the fourth yesterday.
Yes.
I did a great job.
Well, because I had to get home.
Yeah.
But then that ballpark has meant so much to me and my family over the last few years, especially with all the playoff losses. As we go down there and have created our own memory. So it's just really cool to see you out there on the field.
I again, exceeded my expectations completely. You had a good time.
I had a fantastic time. It was brilliant. First of all, it was great. As Michael and I sort of like, where's Waldo, looking for all the littles, and we finally caught up with him, and it was just a fantastic to see all those people. And as Michael said, we paused in that in sort of this area to make sure we got a good view of you. And I know I'm biased, but when you walked out, there was the biggest round of applause for anybody.
Well, that's
and
nice.
And then you gave the flourish, and people
I think
just
went,
lost
isn't
it.
That because they went alphabetical and that was just pre-Ledecky people warming
yes.
up?
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
That's
so
it.
So it was great. I did yell out La Cheesery when you were out there, but I know you couldn't hear it.
Couldn't
but
hear that.
People around.
And I had occasion to, like, I got to, Steve Colby was there. I
yes.
talked to Steve
oh,
Colby.
That's great.
I talked to
that's
Joe
Colby.
Beninati. I talked to Chick Hernandez. I talked to Charlie Slows. I talked to Johnny Holiday
nice.
In the suite area. That
Joe
was great.
Was there.
Joe
was great.
Yeah.
Well,
so I knew
member.
These people.
That's right.
Mark Tuohy was there, who yes. I believe is singularly more responsible for getting a team in this city than anybody else.
Yep.
George Solomon was there. So I really enjoyed myself.
May I ask a question? I have a question and a comment. It's a question. How did the field feel under your feet?
Soft. Wonderful. Just wonderful.
Beautifully
spongy.
Yeah.
Spongy.
Nice.
Great.
Okay.
Felt great.
So I talked to a couple of my in-house consultants about this yesterday. Like, what do you think? And they knew some, other than you, they knew some of the names of some of the other people. Like, oh, yeah, pretty good companies and that.
Yeah.
Colin said something which I thought was really interesting. He says, people pay attention to Washington sports because of Tony Kornheiser, and they wouldn't otherwise.
Well, that's really nice.
Right?
The plaque.
And in the category of, he was talking about why you belonged in this honor. And
well, I will say this. I'm not from here. I was not born here. I've spent the majority of my life here at this point, but I was not born here. So for me to get an honor like this really meant something, because it meant that I was part of the fabric of Washington sports. The plaque is very nice in that regard, that the last sentence of it says that everything that I have done brought glory to Washington, D.C., which is really, that's you know, that's nice.
Colin could have written that plaque. That's
right.
What he said.
And that's very nice. Yeah. And so, of course, I put it underneath the doctorate in a drawer.
I thought you were going to say holding up the Emmy.
What am I going to do?
The Emmy's now an inch higher.
What am I going to do with it?
So that's what you should do with it.
It's really nice.
And just to clarify, it is the Washington, D.C. Sports Hall,
Hall
of fame.
It's the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But I'm
but
on
you're
a wall,
on the Wall of
so
Fame.
So I'm Hoff and Woff.
Woff.
Yeah. I'm both.
Hoff
right.
It could be Hoff on Woff. Yeah.
I will say the entire afternoon was just
nice.
so fantastic until the almost the very end as we drove back, the four of us. And then somebody blocked the box.
Oh, God. Yeah, right in Georgetown. Right in Georgetown. I mean, and
I wanted to get out of the car.
In a white SUV.
Yeah,
a woman in a white SUV. And I had to go a whole turn of the light. And it's just, come on.
That's why some of us should be allowed to have Stinger missiles in our cars.
Right.
I saw this coming because you slowed down into a yellow. And
because
I
didn't want to do anything crazy.
Right.
And then.
This is right in front of the Exorcist steps.
Yeah,
which is great telling.
Just incredibly
always
annoying.
Yeah.
I honked twice. I didn't curse.
No.
I didn't get out of the car. I didn't do anything insane.
I wanted to.
But what did you say? That's why hammers were invented at some point in the car?
Exactly. Smash the window.
Just terrible. Anyway, so I'm very grateful.
Congratulations.
To the committee that nominated me and allowed me to do this. And it was really sweet. This is really
excellent.
Sweet. We will take a break. We'll come back with a jingle and with some email. If we have, do we have any email?
I believe we do.
Because we can get out early. It's a summer show. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all you folks.
Thank you, Gary. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Howard Feinman of the HuffPost for coming on the show today. I'd also like to thank our sponsor, SeatGeek. Please support SeatGeek the way SeatGeek supports our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We are going to try and do some podcasts often on Mondays during the summer if I'm not away. And we're all going to have some pop-ups. Ron Darling, I'm sure we will have. Katie Ledecky, we're going to have. Bill Simmons, we're going to have. Greg Garcia, we're going to have. Greg's got a new show on television.
Guestbook on TBS.
Guestbook, and he's got the show, the Jimmy Buffett musical. It's going to open on Broadway.
Yes.
It's going to open on
ridiculous.
Broadway.
Yeah.
Greg Garcia. From Jim Flynn in Colbert, Connecticut. Tony, your interview with Ron Darling was great. I didn't realize he sounded so much like Saliza. Yes, Darling did not come to the show, but we will get a podcast with him. This is from Mike Binder. He says, I'd like to contact you regarding a potential sponsorship with At the Movies with Arch and Ann. I'm the president of the Scottsdale International Film Festival, and I run the TK Movie Reviews Twitter account recapping Arch, Ann, and Mr. Tony's thoughts on film. So you should get to him.
There you
because
go.
Sponsorship is good because we are a for-profit enterprise at Chatter.
Well, love aspirationally, anyhow.
Aspirationally. That's exactly right. Chris McBride in Charlotte. Which Chris regrets their recent beach trip more, Saliza or Christy? It sounds like neither one got much sun. Elliot Olshansky in Commack, New York. Congratulations on your induction into or onto the DC Sports Wall of Fame. I'm sorry I was unable to attend, but my masculine child had his third birthday party at our house, so I was surrounded by approximately 15 preschoolers.
Always
I did,
fun.
However, build E10 a new play gym for the occasion in the shape of a geodesic dome. So anytime you, Pablo Torre, and Phil Jackson want to come over and hang out, just let me know. Best regards from Suffolk County, home of a Hall of Fame that you are in, the National Jewish Sports Hall of Fame, even if you are hidden behind Bruce Pearl. Wait, why am I hidden behind Bruce Pearl?
That doesn't seem right.
I don't
it?
Want to be hidden. I like Bruce Pearl fine.
Love him.
But I don't want to be hidden behind Bruce Pearl. That's yes. in Commack.
Everyone would be staring at the orange jacket.
You know, that's right. Well, no, they probably have a picture of Bruce when he was shirtless celebrating.
Yeah, maybe not in the Hall of Fame. They wouldn't do that.
Pat Summitt. That was really cool when he did that. I want to congratulate you on your induction into the Chatter Men's Room Stall of Fame. It is certainly well-deserved.
It is.
I have to say that I thought it was a little creepy at first to have one of your headshots mounted on the door and smiling at me as I conduct my business, but I see now what an honor it is. My only question is, why is Maury's 8x10 in here too? Was he the class of 2016? Preferring paper towels over air dryers, I am Hampton Nager in Dallas, Texas. From David Briniger in Monterey, California, I'm going to assume.
Assuming it.
I'm a born and bred Marylander, grew up on the outskirts of D.C. and a fan of yours and your shows for many years. I still read the Washington Post online daily. I saw today that you've been honored. My only thought is, how could you not be there already? That's okay. I'm there now. It's okay.
Better late than never.
I don't really know where you place yourself in the pecking order of D.C. sports reporting and journalists, but I'd put you in a very select crowd of local sports personalities. Shirley Povich, Johnny Holiday, George Michael, you, Warner Wolf. In that order for me are the Mount Rushmore. Okay, I know there's five of D.C. sports. Number four, not so bad in this group, right? I mean, if they only have room for four, you make the cut. Anyway, thank you for your many years of dedication to fans and D.C. sports. It's long overdue. That's very nice. Joe Anderson, Alexandria, Virginia, congratulations on the HOF from up here in Section 311. And he sent a picture, right, Michael, as I went out there to be honored.
Cool.
That's very, very nice. There's a picture that you sent me that the Nats have on their website.
Yes.
With me and Charlie Brotman.
Oh, that's
shaking Charlie's hands. I'm in my Nats hat and my Nats shirt.
And your wedding jacket.
And my wedding jacket. Your wedding jacket. Steve Sunbeck, Arlington, Virginia. Congratulations to Michael and Liz on the littlest little, or is he the littlest big? Anyway, I'm looking forward to the new post-Walker sponsors, Me Diapers, Car Seat Geek, Johnny Onesies, Johnny O'Neesies, I guess, and Blue Burp Rag. From Jay Dunbar, who signs himself president of the emeritus of the Saliza Fan Club, North American chapter. A few suggestions for the appropriate way to Walker to refer to his paternal grandfather. Dr. Pop-Pop, Mr. Dr. Pop-Pop, Pappy Satch, Satchy Warbucks, and Shinebox. Shine Box would, of course, be hysterical. Yes. Brendan Borzelli,
or
now that you are officially a grandpa, you probably need to be a little careful about the knowledge you drop on the kid, especially sports-related. It's okay to reference ballplayers from your youth like Johnny Vandermeer or Virgil Trucks, but if you go around reciting the 1973 NBA draft, you might turn the lad into an NBA fan. Wilbon would then have an ally in your house. We wouldn't really want that, would we?
No, probably
not. No, because we want... Yeah, we wouldn't want... Listen, if you're out on your bike tonight, or any night, do wear white.
But we don't have the chaputzfa to do it.
wish I said.